to the person next to you and greet them this morning and say hi. Amen. I don't even miss it at all. We're talking baldness. All right, let me pray. We'll get started. Father, grateful, so grateful, Lord, that we can open your word this morning, that we could just fellowship together and have you speak to us through your word. Father, grateful for all that you've brought here today, visitors, regular folks, Father, that are here. Father, would you just minister to our hearts? Some hearts being heavier than others this morning. Lord, would you just minister to us? Even as we talk about suffering, Father, would you use that to minister to us this morning? In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 8. It says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many." Father, please be with me as I preach your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Paul, as we talked about last week, just writing that if he is afflicted, it was for their consolation, remember, for their comfort, and for their salvation. Now Paul begins to share some of his own suffering and pain with the church that he loves here. He really does love the church in Corinth. You'll see that through the book. Now, since the goal of this letter is to effect a reconciliation with the Corinthian church and reestablish really his authority as its founder and apostle. Remember, we talked last week, Paul's going to spend time defending that he's an apostle. So his strategy here is to open up to them personally and with much transparency, begin to understand what he's been going through on their behalf, how he's had to suffer. Matter of fact, 2 Corinthians is the most revealing of Paul's epistles or his letters about the depth of his suffering for the gospel. That's what 2 Corinthians does. It reveals how great Paul has had to suffer for the gospel. Now, many of us today, the things I'm going to show you today, we haven't went through yet. But possibly in years to come, months or years to come, we may see a change in that. So let this be an encouragement to you. So notice what Paul says when he says, "We don't want you to be ignorant," or your Bible might use the word uninformed, "brethren, to our struggle or our trouble or hardships which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life." So the words here, "we were burdened beyond measure," which is stated under pressure. I think the NIV, if you have an NIV, it uses under pressure. And some Bibles use the word crushed. Others, "we were pressed." I think King James uses that. So all these employ a verb called, which is the verb bereo, meaning to press down as if with a weight, to weigh down, to burden. So the clause would read, "We were burdened altogether beyond our own strength." If you were to write that in different way. So, but the extent of the pressure is really accentuated in the two phrases that Paul uses here, beyond measure. Okay, that means to an extraordinary degree, beyond measure, utterly excessive. So beyond measure, more than I can handle. Who's ever been in a place where it's more than you can handle? Okay, I say, yeah, I've been there. I've stressed like that, but not to the point of death yet. So beyond our power would be the other phrase, which means over and above, beyond, more than, in the sense of excelling or surpassing our strength. I'm completely weak. So Paul is saying, in places where I was so weak I couldn't even do anything, and I would just rather die. That's how hard the trial was. That's how hard the what I was going through at the time, the suffering I was going through, I would just rather be dead. So this sentence in the Greek really does express Paul's desperate situation. So now we're not told the exact situation that Paul was referring to, where he says even to the point of death, or even where we despaired even of life. So, but you know, twice more in this letter he alludes to that type of suffering. Look at or in his letters to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 8. Go back here to 4:8. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 4:8. 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. The life of Jesus through suffering being manifested in his body. Go over to chapter 11, verse 23. Well, actually, let me save that place. I'll save that for some towards the end here. So we don't know the exact nature of this trouble, but it's probably either some type of persecution or a physical affliction made worse by his missionary work. There's at least other five places here, or four places in Scripture where it suggests this kind of trouble. He actually fought with wild beasts. Can you imagine doing that? I don't know what the wild beasts are, but if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in Ephesus, he fought with wild beasts. That's verse 32. None of us have had to suffer in that area yet. Not in the U.S. anyway. Says, if in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. In the back of the book of Acts, go to Acts 19. Paul, in his preaching, starts a riot. Anybody here in their preaching started a riot yet? No, Acts 19:23. Of course, that's a long, long read, but we won't read the whole thing there. Let me read some of this. About that time, there arose a great commotion about the way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands. So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. Now when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians, so that the whole city was filled with confusion, and rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius, or Gaius, and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. And when Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples would not allow him. So here, this caused quite a commotion. It could have been from this that Paul was referring to. It might have been even, go back to 1 Corinthians 16, where he says he's persecuted by, he has many adversaries. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. For a great and effective door was opened to me, and there are many adversaries. So whatever the problem was, it's really bad. You know, whatever that problem was, maybe it was something, like I said, I was going to read this a little bit later here, but go to First Corinthians 11. No, you're wrong. 2 Corinthians 11. So you shouldn't be wrong with your scriptures. No, it's just me. Are they all ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequently. In deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for the churches. Now, whatever it was, and you know, like I said, we can't pinpoint what that was, but whatever it was, it caused Paul and his companions to be beyond measure, above strength, so that they despaired even of life. Whatever that trial was, Paul almost felt like, I just want to give up. It's too hard, is how he felt. And, you know, it says, because of this problem, Paul had to, he had to live with an anticipation of death. So he said, we had the sentence of death. Who delivered us from so great a death. And his praise goes to that. That what God has delivered him from this great death that was, verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. Folks, let me just interject something here to just with that verse. You've been delivered from a great death. You know, Paul, I think, is even ultimately referring to that. You and I who come to Christ, we've been delivered from death. Give him praise. It was a great death, because that death would keep you separated from him forever. Oh, I thank Jesus that I'm delivered from that. But Paul ultimately is talking about the trials he's in right now. See, the way of Christ is a way of suffering. Jesus had to suffer to enter his glory. If we go back to Luke 24. Suffering is part of being a believer. You heard me say before, it's not something we'll find on any brochure that, you know, welcome to Rathrum Bible Church and prepare to suffer. Because we wouldn't get a lot of people that would want to join. Luke 24, verse 25, and he said to them, O foolish ones and slow to heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? Suffering was part of Jesus' life. He had to suffer to enter even into his own glory. And now he calls us to follow in his steps if need be. He warned his disciples they would be hated and persecuted. Back here in the book of John, chapter 15, part of being a believer is the world is not going to love you. In John 15, verses 18 to 20, it says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would have loved its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, now listen to this, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. If they persecuted Jesus, what should we as believers expect to receive from this world we live in? Persecution. Yet, if we go to Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, which is where Jesus is really talking about what his kingdom will be like, Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12, what do we read here? It says, blessed are those who are what? Persecuted for righteousness' sake, not for being an idiot. Okay, really, not because you do something, you break the law and you're persecuted or anything like that, but for righteousness' sake. When you're persecuted for Christ, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, verse 11, are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So they've done it already to the prophets. They did it to Jesus. What should you and I expect? Same kind of persecution. But if it is for Christ, you're blessed. That's the promise. And Paul even warned his converts to expect to suffer. Go back to the book of Acts. This is a thing in American theology or doctrine. Americans don't think they need to suffer. And I don't know where that comes from. Maybe because we haven't had to suffer much. But a lot of Americans you talk to almost expect that those things happen in all parts of the world, but they shouldn't happen to us. Why? Because we're free. Because we have a constitution. Because of all those things. Well, you know, if God wants a believer to suffer for his namesake, the constitution isn't going to save you. Do we understand that? You know, I always said the Bible supersedes the constitution. That's your first document you and I need to pay attention to. But anyway, Acts 14 and verse 21 and 22. Acts 14, verses 21 and 22. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So how many tribulations should we expect to enter the kingdom of God by? Many. Okay? The Christian walk is not a walk of ease. It's a walk of tribulation. I know we in America don't want to hear that. But that's the fact. Unless we suffer with him, we have no part with him. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 29 and 30. Philippians chapter 1. Well, here we read, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also what? Folks, that's a gift. To suffer for Jesus Christ is a gift. It's been granted to you. Not everybody in the world gets to suffer for Christ. It's not a bad thing to suffer for him. It's granted to you. There are people that are dying right now as I'm standing here preaching, and it's been granted to them to suffer. Oh, what a blessing that would be. Scary? Yes. Right? Anybody want to do that? Probably not. As I go through this, even think of those Christians who are in Afghanistan right now. Think of the one missionary in their family that just got butchered by the Taliban for their faith. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We were just there a couple weeks ago. Look at verse 12, 2 Timothy 3. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer what? When I was preaching that then, you remember I said this verse has always intrigued me, because it's the fact that just the desire to live for God will bring you persecution. Doing it will bring persecution. But the minute I tell you, oh, I want to live for the Lord, and I make a stand where I want to live for the Lord, then I should expect all hell to break loose into my life. And it will. I want to tell you, you make that proclamation. I am Jesus. I am Jesus' disciple. I'm going to live for him. Watch what happens. But it's a good thing. Not something to be scared of. It's a good thing. I just want to encourage you with that. So Peter wrote also to prepare his readers, like Paul did, to expect persecution. 1 Peter chapter 2. What does Peter have to say about it? For what credit is it if when you are beaten with for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called. Listen to what it says here. What's Paul talking about? What's Peter talking about? He's talking about suffering for Christ. We get to verse 21. It says, to this you were called. To what were you called? Suffering. To this you were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. See, that's convicting to me, because this week I'm so mad at what's happening in Afghanistan and what our government has done. I'm ticked. Mad. I said, I'll just go shoot them all. I'm sorry. You know, go to me. That was in my heart. And yet I look at this verse, and he committed himself. He says he did not threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. In his own suffering. What was making me mad this week is these people have to suffer because, oh, see, I'm getting all riled up. But you understand how I feel. Anyway, let's move on. 1 Peter 4. The Bible speaks better than I can. Starting in verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though something strange is happening to you. But rejoice. Look at this. Rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Glad with what? His appearing? Yes. But the fact that you got to suffer with him. It is not a bad thing to suffer for Christ. It's a privilege. Boy, the people in Afghanistan are being blessed from God's point of view. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, notice this, God is allowing for you and I to suffer. After you suffer a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. What will he do? He will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. But he will let you suffer first. Because suffering for Christ is not a bad thing. Those who followed the way of Christ in the first century knew well that it would be a way of suffering. When they joined the church, when they were baptized, it was in a public setting. And so they knew, they could lose their life the minute they went down to the Jordan River and got baptized. They knew if they would visit a brother or sister in prison, it could cost them their life. They knew, you know, before Paul was turned to where he was following Jesus, it must have been a hard thing to know that they were out hunting you down, looking for where the Christians are. It's because they suffered for the cause of Christ. They were beaten and they were threatened. Go back here to Acts chapter 5, verse 40. And they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. Now, we know that didn't stop them, but they were beaten and threatened. They would suffer hardship for their service. Back here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, getting a lot of Bible verses today. I guess that's every week, right? That's good for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9 through 13. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise, says you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. Another word for entreat is to exhort or encourage. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. The offscouring. Everybody knows what that is, right? If you had calves, who's ever raised calves? Okay. It's diarrhea, folks. But that's important that you see that. That's how Paul is saying, this is us to the world. We've suffered to that extent. That's who we are. Many suffered martyrdom, and Paul would even say he suffered much for Christ back in where we read in 2 Corinthians 11. But even after that, Christians during the first three centuries suffered a lot by unbelieving Jews and even by the Romans. You go back to Acts chapter 7, verses 54 to 60. I'll just use this verse to show you this and another one here. Acts 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. And who's he talking about here? Stephen, okay? But let me back up here. Let's see. They gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right at his right hand, and said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, later became Paul. Since we're right there, go to Acts 8, first three verses of Acts 8. Now Saul was consenting to his death, and at that time a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they all were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Now, what's going on here? There's great persecution that brings what to them? They begin to scatter all over the place. So persecution starts. It happened after the church was birthed, and persecution goes on even up to this day. So many Christians even today are suffering in Muslim countries and Hindu nations. As we sit here, it's happening in communist nations like China, North Korea, Afghanistan, as I mentioned, even in the USA and other Western countries, there are forms of some type of suffering. Christians and their faith are often ridiculed, sometimes rejected by even your friends, your family, your work coworkers, your neighbors. What should we do, folks? Pray for them. Pray for those who persecute us, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Even go back here to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, and remember the words of Paul. Go back there again. 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. No matter what happens, folks, that's where we need to be. Suffering is going to happen in our world, and we should prepare for it. Now, there's several things you can do to prepare for the suffering that is going to come. You notice what I just said? It's going to come. Okay, develop a trust in God through a life of active Bible study. Be in the Scriptures. Dig in the Word. Be a student of the Word of God. Get that in your mind. Get it in your heart. You never know if they might show up at your door and say, "No more Bibles." Get it in your spirit. You must learn as in Nahum, what Nahum 1, verse 7. Let me go back here to Nahum. Okay, my fingers won't turn to Nahum. Go. Somebody read Nahum 1:7. Thank you. It's the last part I want you to see. First of all, develop a trust in God through a life of active Bible study. Learn to trust Him. Learn to trust Him. If persecution is knocking at the door, learn to trust your God. Learn to trust Him. Where, Lord, we need this. I'm not going to go to the world, I'm going to go to you. Lord, would you provide this for us? 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 Where's the church going to be if the world says, look, you're not getting medical treatment anymore? I got to trust him. Where's the church going to be if the world says, no more food? Oh, Lord, you got to provide. I have to trust you. Where are you going to be when whatever happens against Christians? Lord, I trust you. Where would you be if you're in Afghanistan right now and you're waiting for your door to be knocked down because you're an American there or a Christian there and you know they're going to haul you away? Lord, I trust you. I have to trust you. I have to trust you. And this, go to Acts 16, verse 25, and then on to James 5. Third thing I want you to prepare, how to prepare, is to learn to pray and learn to sing. What? I have a Pastor Dan say, praying and singing. Acts 16 here, verse 25. Listen to this. Let me read down into this. 23. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, you expect both Paul and Silas here to be just miserable, right? But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and what? Singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. You want to prepare your heart for suffering? Learn to pray and sing. What would those two things do for me? Well, prayer would teach me to trust. Singing would give me joy. Or prayer would too, actually. So the day may come when we as Christians will suffer for Jesus Christ, even to the point of death. The day may come when our testimony becomes a death sentence in this world. Standing up there giving testimony in Sunday school class, that could be a death sentence in the world we live in now. But it might get bad down here before we leave this world. And I'm not even talking about the 7-year tribulation time. I'm talking about what's going to happen at the hands of men. There may be trials, there may be tribulations, there may be pain, and there may be persecutions, but with all the uncertainty with our nation, especially right now and in the world right now, we can be assured that the Lord will not forsake and leave us alone. He won't forsake us. He's not going to leave us alone. That's the promise of Hebrews 13, verse 5. He won't leave us or forsake us. And that's where Paul could say, who delivered us and does deliver us, and we trust that he will still deliver us, even to the end. It doesn't matter what we have to go through. We have a promise for God that we will not be forgotten. I think Paul knew that God works in our life in three tenses, and that God does a work in our past, in our present, and in our future. So he can say these things. Go back here to our text today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Watching the clock here because I got something I want to do here. Verse 11. Paul wants us to see where some of that victory through trials comes from. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. What did Paul just say? It's not just God delivering us. God also uses other people. For what? For prayer, right? Okay. With that, could you cut the cameras? See everybody at home a little bit later. You cut the live feed? Got it? Okay. We'll talk to them next week. I just don't want you to be seen on camera if you didn't want to be seen on camera. We're going to take the next few minutes to do exactly that.